stopped. Okay.
There we go. Here we go.
Alright, so we're going to be in Colossians, chapter 2, finally out of chapter 1. But as we were praying, I kind of just remembered on how in the intro, that was almost like a year ago now probably, I talked about how Paul had different like sections of what he was talking about throughout this book. And the last chapter that we just covered was all about who Christ is, remembering that foundation of who Christ is. And here we kind of get into what do we do with who Christ is for us? What do we do with him now? So we're going to read verses 1 through 10 and then just get into it. All right, verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you, those in Laodicea and as far as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures in wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in flesh, I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. So here we see Paul once again talking to the church, and it's kind of cool how he was like, this section here, he's talking to not only the people at Colossae, but he also brings Laodicea into it. He also brings us into it, those who would be reading this in the future and may not have ever seen him face to face in the flesh. So we can take this personally because we had never seen him, so this is to us as well. And it's just an encouragement to them. He's here encouraging them. It says that their hearts may be encouraged in verse 2. And I think that this section was really cool because Paul, several times throughout here, he talks about them not being deceived by the way of the world or the people, right? And if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look at a way that we can protect ourselves from that deceit, so that we're not so easily swayed.
Ephesians what here?
6. And starting in verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in heavenly places. So that's what he was talking about at the end of Colossians, right? Here he instructs that we put on the whole armor of God. It's taking action that we might not be deceived, right? It's action. We can't just sit by passively and just assume, oh yeah, we know who God is. We're not going to get deceived by the things of the world, but it is very easily to be ensnared by the traps of the devil. And at the end of the chapter in Colossians, it said that we are complete in him, God, who is the head of all the principalities and power, right? When we're arming ourselves with the armor of God, we are arming ourselves with the one who is above all of the principalities and powers, right? In verse 12, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers in darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness and heavenly places. I think that if we're going to be fighting them, I don't know about you guys, but I want to be armed with the head, right? The one who's above all of those things. I want to be armed with him because I don't think any of us want to go into battle with the thought of, I'm going in with the weaker link here. No, we want to go in with the best stuff, right? The best weapons, the best armor. That's what we want to go in with. And then picking up in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I recently went through the armor of God with the kids in Sunday school. And yesterday we did the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I was talking with little Hannah, and I asked her, I was like, do you know what this is? She was like, yeah, it's the Bible. I was like, do you know what it is, though? And we talked about how it was the Word of God, right? And how we're able to use the Word of God, the actual living Word of God, to fight our battles against the enemy. And it is the best weapon that we can have is the sword, the Word of God. A lot of this study, I'm going to be talking about where we're founded, where we're rooted, and it all comes back to the Word of God. It all comes back to us being immersed in the Word of God. If we're not in the Word, we're not going to know when we're being deceived. If we're not in the Word of God, we're not going to know truth, right? We're not going to be able to put on that belt of truth because we're not going to know what truth is if we aren't reading the truth. Because it is so easy to listen to teachers. It's easy to listen to all of these people and think, oh yeah, that sounds right, you know, but we have to be Bereans, right? Paul tells us that we need to be Bereans. We need to look, we need to search, we need to study the scriptures so that we are prepared. That's what we want. We want to be prepared. I was watching, it's a new show that just came out. They're still releasing episodes. It's all about parenting, right? And they're looking at different parenting styles. And yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah. And one of the ladies was talking about how they're sending their kids out into a war and they want their kids to be armed. They want them to be prepared so that they can go out and they're not just like, oh, whatever, and they die, basically. You know what I mean? They want them to be prepared. That's what God wants us. He wants us to be prepared. And the only way that we can be prepared is by being in the Word. It gives us everything that we need to fight those battles against the wicked one, right? Mm.
Yes.
It gives us the faith, right? That shield. It gives us the shield of faith. Because if we're not reading the Word, what we have faith in, we're not going to have the faith when something comes against us to be able to be like, okay, my faith is in God and this shield is around me. I'm blocking this, right? If we're not in it, then where's our faith? What do we believe? So if you would go back to Colossians chapter 2. And so, yeah, we see that in verse 4, it says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, right? We hear those things that we're so easily persuaded because we're human. Things, oh, that sounds really good. It's easy to be persuaded. But then in verse 8, he continues out and he says, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. It is really, really easy to get wrapped up in the things of the world. It's really easy to look at what the world is doing, the philosophies, traditions, and things like that, and to completely forget that it is not according to Christ. The world is not according to Christ, and we are to be according to Christ. In verse 7, it tells us exactly, well, we'll start in verse 6, okay. It tells us exactly how we are able to withstand the evil one. It tells us exactly how we are able to put that armor on. It tells us exactly how we are able to live according to Christ and not according to the world. In verse 6, it says, "As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in him." That's the key. We need to walk in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, that as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. It says that you're established in the faith. You're firm. You're grounded. You're right there. It's established. Just like it's part of you. But to me, the word that really stood out there was rooted. And so now I'm just going to take on like a little, and we're going to talk some about plants. For those of you who know me really well, you know that I absolutely love plants. At one point, I had like 100 plants.
Whoa.
100 plus plants, honestly. Whoa. I had a lot of plants. I had a little teeny tiny bedroom, and I had them all lined up on the window. And it was very crowded. Yeah, I had a ton. Now, a lot of my plants are at Mommy and Daddy's house because I can't bring them with us. Yeah. But I do have a few because I just have to have some plants. And to me, when I saw that word rooted, I was like, all of my knowledge of plants came in, and I was like, wow, this is a really cool thing that Paul brings out here. When I first go to the store and I'm going to buy a plant, the first thing I do is, of course, everyone, you know, you look at the plants and you go, oh, that's really pretty. The leaves look nice. The flowers look nice, or the spikes, whatever, you know, it looks nice in appearance. The first thing that you want to do when you are picking out a plant is you want to take it out of the pot. And you want to look at the roots. And you want to look at the roots. Because if a plant is healthy, the roots are healthy. The appearance, sometimes a plant appears to be healthy and the roots are sick. And eventually that plant's going to die. And so the first thing we want to do to determine the health of a plant is to see how its roots are. What is it rooted in? And for us, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
To determine our spiritual health, we need to look at our roots, right? What are we rooted in? Are our roots healthy? Are we drawing proper nourishment from the soil that we're planted in? And even the jobs of the roots are really cool. The first job of a root is to anchor the plant, right? Obviously, plants weren't originally in people's houses. Like, they're just outside. It's raining, it's storming, and they have to be able to withstand any storms, any conditions that they come into. They have to anchor and hold that. I remember when we first moved to this area, probably was a few years, and there was a tornado, and it was terrifying, honestly. I was so scared, but it was pretty cool afterwards. I remember we all were running around outside looking at all the trees and the branches that had fallen. And I remember seeing tons of trees with the roots up and out, right? And, well, that tree is dead, right? It's done. There's no more life in that tree. It wasn't able to hold itself into the ground strong enough to withstand the storms that came against it. But then you see other trees that they were perfectly fine, right? Yeah. And those are the trees that we want to be as Christians, right? When the storms of life come, we want to be so grounded that we're not going to be uprooted. We want that anchor. The next job of the roots is to deliver water, air, and nutrients to the leaves of the plants. Without water, obviously a plant or tree is going to wither, it's going to die. Without air, same thing. Nutrients, you know, a plant is so healthy and nutrient when they have those nice green leaves because they're getting proper nutrients from the roots. And then the third thing is to store. The roots will actually store water, air, and nutrients in them so that if something happens where, like, say, like, a cactus in the desert, they have a time where they're not going to get water. So they need to store what is has been provided for them. They need to store that in so that they're able to withstand, able to survive. So those are the three jobs of the roots. Honestly, without the roots, a tree could not survive. It would be impossible. If you would turn to Mark chapter 4. And here we see a famous parable of Jesus, where he is talking about seeds and things being rooted and not rooted in the proper way. So in Mark chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, "Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured them, and some of them fell on stony ground, where the earth did not have, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth in the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out and yielded no crop. But other seeds fell out on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increase and produce some 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. And he said to them, who has ears to hear, let him hear. So here we see several seeds falling on several different areas. First, we see the seed that is eaten up by the birds. Well, they never rooted. They never grew at all. The second, we see them fall onto the rocky soil and their roots weren't able to go down. They weren't able to anchor onto anything. They had no nutrition in the rocks. And so they grew up, you know, they probably looked like pretty nice plants, but as soon as the sun came and beat on them, they died. They withered up. They weren't able to withstand because they had no roots. Their roots were not in the right place. Next, we see, some seeds fall among weeds and thorns. And here we see, you know, they probably fell into some pretty good soil because the weeds really liked it, so it was pretty good soil. But the problem was, you think of it as the things of the world. They were overtaking in that place, and so they had no hope to survive in that place. So we want to think about, where are we putting our roots? Are they in the things of the Lord, where we're going to draw nutrition, where we're going to be able to grow? Or are they in the things of the world? Because it's important where we draw our nutrition from as to whether we're going to be choked out, whether we're going to just wither up, or whether we're going to grow and produce fruit. And so it is really important as to where we are planted. Another thing that is very interesting about roots is roots, they seek the best conditions. So if you were to take a plant out of a pot, very often you'll see all the roots like right at the bottom, right? It's because when you water a plant, the water comes down, it goes down into the bottom, and it washes the nutrition down into the bottom of the pot. And so all the roots are going, they're going down, they're going like, this is the good stuff, this is where the water is, this is where it's moist, this is where we can get the best nutrition. So the roots, they're going after that. And so we want to be in the best soil conditions. We want to be rooted in the best soil conditions. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious for the year of droughts, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." And again, that's what we want, right? We don't want to fear when when the heat comes against us, when things get hard, we have nothing to fear when we're rooted in Christ. Things are going to get hard. Things are going to be tough. There's going to be storms, but we honestly have nothing to fear when ultimately our roots are grounded in Him. And we don't have to worry about the drought because, right? He's the water. He's the living water. And we can find that in Him. And it says, nor will it cease yielding fruit. When our roots are so deep into Him, we're not going to stop yielding fruit for Him. That's a telltale sign. For us to establish good roots, we must immerse ourselves in the Word of God. That's what I was talking about earlier with the armor, right? We need to be in the Word of God to get those roots, to be able to defend ourselves against the enemy. When we're rooted in the Word of God, Psalms chapter 1 tells us exactly what happens when we're rooted in the Word of God. Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of God, right? And on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So there we see again, right? The tree that is planted by the rivers of water, right? The person who is planted in the Word of God, when he meditates on that Word, right, will be like that tree, bringing forth fruit in our season, right? And our leaves shall not wither, and whatever we do shall prosper, right? And we're not going to be a sad dead tree. If we're rooted in God, we're not going to be a sad dead tree who all the like the little fruits don't ever come to anything. Another interesting fact about a plant's roots are there are several plants that if you chop them down, one of the big ones is grass. If you chop it down, its roots are fine and it's going to keep growing. Dandelions, same thing. Dandelions are so hard to get rid of because their root is so deep. And if you don't get all of that dandelion root, it's just going to come back. Succulents do that. If you chop off their stem, you know, they'll grow a new plant if their roots are fine. So just think about that when we're being persecuted or we're going through something hard, we're being cut down. If our roots are firm in Christ, we're going to grow. We're going to produce. In Luke chapter 13, it shows a picture of the mercy of God as our plant tender, right? The tender of the plant, he takes care of it. He provides fertilizer, manure, those kind of things. And in verse 6-9, he's talking about a fig tree that is barren. It hasn't produced any fruit. Verse 6 says, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruits on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and he said, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. So there we see the mercy of God, right? We see this plant 3 years in a row bore no fruit at all. And when the keeper of the vineyard came to him and he was like, no, give it one more chance. You're going to do everything to get it to produce fruit. You're going to pour into it. You're going to fertilize it. And if it still doesn't, then cut it down. But God is going to offer us everything possible to get us to produce fruit. He's giving us everything. And it's up to us to take it, to root ourselves down into it and produce fruit. But he gives us every opportunity to grow, to survive, to learn, and to produce fruit. If you would go back to Colossians. And there we see, as You therefore have received Jesus Christ as the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. It's in him, right? That's where our roots are, right? We hear over and over about that cornerstone. That's what it's talking about, being built up on him. We want him to be the foundation, the bottom, the rock that we're on. We want him to be the soil that we draw from. And then it goes into, again, it talks about being aware, lest we be deceived. But I think that if we are rooted, if we're built up, if we're putting on that full armor of God, we're prepared. We're going to be aware because we're drawing that from him. We're in the word. So we're going to see and we're going to realize that we're being deceived. I just have three questions or things for us to ponder on these next few weeks. And it's just like some words for thought, and then we'll close and get into the book. Where am I drawing my nutrition from? Where am I getting nourishment from? Is it the word of God? Is it God? Am I getting my water from him? And is everything that I breathe, is my breath from him? Is all of my nutrition coming from him, from his word? Do I produce healthy growth through abiding in Jesus, or is my spiritual life withering because I'm not rooted in him? Right? If we're producing healthy growth in Christ, if we're abiding in him, we're going to produce that healthy growth. We're going to produce the fruit, and it's going to be evident that we're rooted in him. If we're not, our spiritual life is going to wither, right? And it's because we're not rooted in him. It's because we're not in the word. We're going to wither. And then the last thing to think about is maybe I am producing all of the leafy show. Maybe my foliage looks fantastic. And maybe it's pleasing to the eye, but am I producing any fruit? Are my roots healthy? That's all I got this time. So, I pray that the Lord would just reveal to each and every one of us where we can draw closer to him, where our roots can get deeper into him, that we'd be anchored and founded in him, so that when the world comes against us or when the lie of the enemy comes against us and comes in, we know what is true. We know what is right, and we are able to stand and not waver.
Amen. Amen.